This was just, I just came across this in Tricycle Magazine, the Daily Dharma thing, which I get every day. What is this? This is just your life. So you do your part and the rest is clear. It is clear because there's never been anything lacking, despite any beliefs you might have, despite any ideas you might have. So every time I'm asked to do a Zen Threads talk, or to respond to a koan, or to ask to be a leader of some sort in a retreat and some role, I find that the first thing that comes up after the first thing, which is panic, is self-judgment. And sometimes I have a thought before a talk, and I've felt, you know, where something has hit me really strongly. And I have got to talk about this, but that isn't the way things have been going lately. Things have been going more like many forks in the road, and I just take all of them. So one of the main things, I've been hanging out with the Acequias quite a lot and just, you know, going to it and reading, and I've read it through, and then I have totally forgotten what I've read. And then I go back and I read and I go, wow, that's really a beautiful thought. And then I forget that again. And, but it's about the non-judgment, about being able to take that in the way that I live in this practice and say, that's okay. That's who I am. Part of this acceptance lately has been about, you know, people do their talks in very different ways, and people talk about the koans in very personal ways, and some are very intellectual, and some are very deeply diving into the words, and some are more intuitive. And I'm not sure what I am, but I feel like it has something to do with how I've always worked as an actor, which is that I take the script, I take the words, and I take the and then I arrive, and then I see what happens, and then I try to be true to the moment. And that just, when I feel, and I'm totally confident in that, and I feel, I've been trying to say to myself, you know, I need to be confident in myself in the same way in life and in this practice. It's the same thing. There's no difference. The thing that has happened recently too, now I'm just going to jump around. One of the things Joan says is that awakening happens in relationship. And that really hit me because we've been, because as some of you know, we've been traveling and seeing old friends. And then seeing people in the Sangha that we hadn't seen before in person, and seeing how that feels. Joan says, awakening isn't dependent on words, but it isn't dependent on anything else either. Poor words, when we're not clinging to them, we often find them inadequate. But so is everything else. A cherry blossom, a painting, a sunset, a bird taking flight, a fox watching a squirrel, all possible gates to awakening, but no more or less so than a word. Any koan can be the occasion of an opening, and once the vastness is open for you and you meet it with sincerity, openings large and small will most likely continue. For a while, I've been looking for openings large. And part of that, and remembering what that kind of an opening felt like, taking refuge or sitting in retreat, and then saying to myself, well, why am I not getting those lightning bolts? And then this trip, seeing people, kind of brought me back to why I love the openings, large and small, will continue. And it isn't that the openings, large openings, aren't happening. It's that I'm more familiar, I think. But the small openings are really amazing when I realize that they're actually happening. And they've been happening in relationship. There's a feeling of support and of sangha and of meeting people. And Sarah was talking about the electromagnetic field that exists around us all and why in person is so important and that it's a real measurable thing. As we're starting to go back out into the world, that's become really important to me. And the surprises, you know, I ask myself, why does it feel necessary to go out and experience new things? You know, why does it feel exciting to meet new people, new experiences? I think that it, you know, these, and the amazing love that happens. Joan said something about it was about work in the room. Sometimes meeting people who are not teachers or but are Sangha members or who are just people who aren't following the path, it still feels like a work in the room sometimes, where the sharing and the questions and answers happen if you're open to feeling them. And that's what this this has felt like recently about there's something in meeting each other in sincerity without expectation that feels like a work of art. That connects to the theater part, which is not a visual art, but is a different kind of art. It's an art of relationship. And it's in the words, yet not in the words. It's in the heart's electromagnetic field of person-to-person companionship. It's in the shared knowledge that we share the way, we share this life, that makes it feel like a safe and nourishing encounter if we're open to that. And it's this need for a human interaction that recently has been so starved. So it just feels, when I ask myself, why is it that we forget that the newness of encounters can exist in familiar places and people? That's kind of like looking for a big opening. Why is it that we forget that the big opening shows us where the little openings are, and the newness of relationships with people that are completely new and exciting to us also show us that we're forgetting sometimes that that is still there in people we know very well and intimately. So having said that, I will also say that there's nothing wrong. It feels really exciting to meet new people and to realize that we're all sharing this amazing willingness to connect in a genuine way. And when I feel doubt about the practice, which I feel every day on some level, and I take a moment and realize that I'm just not being in that that doubt is also part of the practice, then there is a comfort in knowing that I think that meeting people and connecting in a real way reminds you that we're all in doubt and that we're all practicing. We went to the Dharma Rain Temple and Reverend Shokai, the Buddhist monk there, was very, and we sat together. It reminded me of the in-person temple and what we've been missing. And he said a really interesting thing, which I have, which part I agree with and part I don't, but I mean, I accept it, where he said, you know, when you come and you come to the temple and you're all outside, however many of you, and you're meeting each other and you're hugging and you're sharing stories. And he goes, no, you don't do that. You come, and because it takes away from the focus of why you're coming to the temple, you're coming to the temple to sit and to remember and to practice. And then afterwards, you hug and you kiss and you talk and you share stories. I thought that was really, you know, it's not really our way in this tradition, I don't feel, but I, because it reminded me when we walk into Shove Chapel and the temple bell is ringing, there is something special and focused about that, and that there is respect. And the Zoom world makes that harder to take, to live in. But I think that it helped remind me that we can respect the temple of wherever we are at any given time where we're sitting together to practice. I just, one other thing. Oh, okay. I just wanted to read this thought, you know, thing that I had about, because I was thinking a lot about, well, what is my practice? Why am I feeling, you know, I'm sitting almost every day, pretty much every day, and at some point, and usually in companionship now, and it's why, and that feels like practice. And then I leave and I go, well, what am I doing in the world? And it's about self-judgment. Everything right now is feeling equal in importance. So when there's no, these are things that have happened. There's no well water at the trailer. I have to carry water up to the swamp cooler on the roof. I worry about whether a pipe is broken and if the grass will die and if the fence we just built will have to be dug up. Then I find out that the pipe's broken two other yards, which is why I don't have water. Then I think about home ownership and how chores never cease, but also how it gives me a chance to interact with neighbors and find out what's going on with them. And that feels like practice. And I find out that a friend has suddenly died before we actually got a chance to become close friends. And I think about the beauty and fullness of his life. And we get a chance to try to help his partner in her grieving process. And that feels like practice. And we talk to a friend who's also grieving over that loss and suffering with the constant stress of her business and her art in her life. And we feel her gratitude talking to us. And that feels like practice. And I take videos of the puppies swimming for the first time, deciding to go out into the deeper water after deciding not to go out. But I encourage him and I tell him it'll be okay. And he goes back out and he has to swim. And that feels like practice. And we take a road trip and see friends, both distant, not particularly close, and some are also far and are particularly close and we may not have seen in years. And they in COVID recovery hug and marvel at our efforts to see them. And the world is full of love and wonder, and they all feel close and they all feel like us. And that feels like practice. And we decide to see Zoom Sangha members on our road trip we never seen in person, and the love abounds and the stories overflow, and we feel so supported in our individual journeys and so grateful for the opportunity to connect face to face. And that feels like practice. And we mourn William's upcoming absence and celebrate his next journey on the way. And that feels like practice. And I look at the garden that's been neglected, and I weed and deadhead and water, and I stain a fence and I tar a roof, and that feels like practice. And I sit in these quiet and sometimes very small morning groups of fellow Sangha members on the path And I watch my mind wander and bring it back, and that feels shared. And the sharing feels like practice. And I have dark and depressing thoughts, and I think about how the precepts are beautiful and the vows are impossible and the world is falling apart, and how self-judgmental I am, and how I think others are further on the path, and that I'm too lazy in this short time I have to get very far into this Zen journey. And that feels like practice. I will just say that all of that, when I realize that, has told me that something, whether I've been laughing boy and now I'm going to be crying boy again, whether I accept it or recognize it at every given moment, something has changed. And that change is the practice. Thank you.